It is always a thrill to welcome New Yorker cartoonist Liza Donnelly to the roundtable. She has a new book of cartoons and writing, Women on Men, that is available as an ebook and will be a real honest-to-God book at some point, right?
So it is. You can get it print on demand. Hi, Joe.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's great a delight to see you.
Yeah.
The book is a collection of over 200 of her cartoons. The theme is primarily about women being funny. Liza Donnelly has been publishing cartoons in The New Yorker since 1982. She is a weekly columnist and cartoonist for Forbes.com, specializing in politics and women's rights. And for 3 years, she's been drawing a weekly cartoon on gender issues and women's rights for the news site Women's E-News. And again, it's a delight to have you here. I love when you come visit us.
Oh, it's great. That's why I do books, Joe, to come see you.
Well, you're very nice. I love your work, and I have to say that this book opened my eyes a little bit about sort of the voice that you've taken, and you write a little bit about this in the book and in your introduction, which is that through your work in The New Yorker and primarily with Tina Brown, of how you were able to kind of refine this voice.
Oh, yeah. Interesting question. When I started being a cartoonist back as a youth and then in college and my early adult years, I just wanted to be a cartoonist. I didn't think of myself as a woman cartoonist. I still don't. And I drew cartoons about everything in life, about politics, but also just life. And then in the 90s, we had a new editor, Tina Brown, at The New Yorker, and she started buying cartoons from me that were a little bit different. They were various, but a lot of them were about women making snide remarks, and sometimes at men. And at the time, I just thought, oh, she's buying my work. Great, that's fine. You know, I'm still at The New Yorker. That's great. But I began to realize maybe 10 years later that this is a particular voice that I have, and this book is full of these cartoons, so some of them from The New Yorker.
One of the things that I love about the book, because the cartoons are somewhat segmented, there's chapters, but there's an intimacy not only in the artwork, but in the fact that because the text is handwritten, that there is an intimacy from you, the artist, to us, the reader, of kind of putting you in your head a little bit as to how these ideas come to be, which I have always understood from artists is an impossible thing to explain.
It is. But we thought, and I thought, and the publishers thought that if I did it handwritten, each chapter intro is handwritten, and in between some cartoons, there's little remarks from me as to how it came about or what my thoughts were when I did this, making it sort of hopefully to look like a sketchbook, a notebook of my thoughts. So you're right. You picked up on it. Yeah. Thank you.
And also it should be noted at this point that you have nice handwriting. So it's not difficult. You're not like trying to.
I am a doctor's daughter, but I didn't pick up on that, on the inability to write.
So there's a lot. Yes, there's a lot about, and as I said in the beginning, and you make this note about it's women being funny and it's women having a bit of an edge. But it's also much about their in relationship to women with each other and women with men. There's the relationship you have a lot of here on dating.
Yes.
There's marriage and then there's just the conversations
that women have that are
hilarious.
Well, I think I don't know how to respond to that, but there's humor that women do amongst ourselves, and there's humor that we do out in public with mixed company. And sometimes those two types of humor are different because we, as groups of women, can sometimes be harder on ourselves and harder on the other sex in our own company. That's changing now. Women are being funny in public and professionally. Stand-up comedians are being funny and talking about everything under the sun. You know, it wasn't 30 years ago when women couldn't make fun of men on, you know, as a stand-up without being booed off the stage or, you know, thrown eggs at or whatever. But now it's different. I think some of that still goes on a lot. I mean, but it's much easier for women to be funny professionally.
But don't you think that the humor then translate to a universal audience, though, in the sense that men will read these cartoons and find them as
hilarious. I think humor is universal, and if I I'm an idealist, you know. So I like to think that this book brings the genders together to see that we're all just human beings and we all laugh at the same things. And men have told me they love this book. They like my previous book too, which was about, generally speaking, about getting older, which we all do, whether you're a man or a woman. And the issues are really, really very similar. And I don't like it when the media separates us so distinctly as like men like to go hunting and women like to go shopping. You know, it's just not like that. It really isn't.
You mentioned, the media is mentioned a couple times in the book. You take some nice shots and I think well-deserved. I always kind of think of it as the greeting card syndrome, where you go in and if you try to find a card for your wife or your husband or your mother or your father, that of how distinct those cards are, the coloring, the wording, and because if it's anything to do with your mother, you don't say that you're sorry. You don't, you know, thank them enough for what they do, and you're an idiot. Yeah. And if your father, it's that you've only managed to get a certain amount of their bad traits and not their good traits, which I just find bizarre. Yeah. But we see that a lot in our media and in our culture. Which I think you rightfully point out is being bizarre.
It's listening to you talk about the greeting card syndrome. I think it has a lot to do with money, that companies are trying to sell product, and whether it's a greeting card or book, clothing, even the mace that you find or the tools to protect themselves are pink. Marketed towards women. So companies feel that it's easier to market towards a group if they narrow the group into a certain set of characteristics. And that's, I think that's what causes a lot of conflict between people and problems. And a lot of stereotypes towards women are what make it so difficult for women to get ahead, I think.
I remember talking to Chuck Jones, who was one of the original Warner Brothers animators, and who did, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, and was responsible for some of the best Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck cartoons, and that had a real social message to them. So like Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century, and just some incredible stuff. And he said, you know, you're working on several levels. You want to be funny. You're working on an artistic level, and then you want to say something, and I remember that so clearly. And you do that, and you make it seem effortless, but I'm sure that it's far from that because you take all three equally seriously.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I do. I think it comes with years of having done this. You know, you learn how to pick up on what's going on in the culture, and distill it into an idea or. You know, you don't waste your time with things that don't have meaning or don't have teeth. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, I know. You were talking this morning with some guests. I don't know who they were because I was cleaning my car off. I came in late. About Dennis Rodman going to North Korea.
Yes.
And, you know, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know, somebody going over to a different country to show them what Americans are like. I mean, I'm not sure if that's what he's doing, but it's partly what he's doing. I don't know if you knew, but our State Department sends cartoonists abroad to different embassies to talk to people and to show them. So I think cartoons can be, and I'm one of those people, by the way.
You're one of those people.
Cartoons can be a way to increase dialogue between different cultures. I mean, as long as it's captionless, as long as it's translated, of course.
Well, we've had rioting in the streets in this world over cartoons.
Right.
So
people died over cartoons.
Right. So they have a great power.
Yeah.
But you realize that.
Mm-hmm. I have a responsibility, I think, to not abuse that power.
Which gets us back to the media question, doesn't it? I mean, about what that power is and how that is abused.
Yes, I mean, it's abused for money, I think. It's just abused to get more money from companies, corporations.
How do you, when you, and we've talked before about this process, but You never know when you submit a selection of cartoons. You never know what they're going to select. than New York or anywhere else. And I assume some of the other gigs, it's here's the cartoon that I promised you for this week. Is that it? Or do they still select?
The other places are, no, it's like, this is what I would like you to run. And occasionally, like Women's E! News will say, maybe do you have another one? Or do you have one that's more political? And I usually do. I can come up with something. Other places, like I work for Medium now, which is a new blog platform started by the guy who started Twitter. And it's they pay me per view. They pay me a flat fee and then per view. So it's based on hits. It's a lot of different ways I have to juggle.
So when it comes to the New Yorker, which I assume is sort of the largest audience, right? I mean that would be the largest people who see your work.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Because I'm not online at the New Yorker very much. They do have a regular daily cartoon now, done by different cartoonists every couple months. But I may get more traffic online than
really.
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.
But you're good for like every other issue, right?
No.
Really?
No.
Maybe like, how many times in a year do you think you get published in the New Yorker?
8 times. 10
really?
Times. Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Now that surprises me because I think of you as a thank presence you. Regularly in the magazine.
Well, thank you. Well, I've been there a long time. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
But that's, I'm glad to hear that. It's more than that. I'm not really sure. I don't keep track.
Okay. And I apologize if this is turning into an inquisition. But is that less than it used to be?
No, it's always been
about the same.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm one of those,
and about the same as most of the other cartoonists, I would assume.
There are some people who are in more often than I am. Yeah.
Okay, and what I'm getting around to in a very broad way is how much do you think that has to do on subject matter? I mean, getting back to the editor of Tina Brown of picking those cartoons that had this.
You're putting me on the spot.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I just find it interesting because it again we're talking about an industry, mm-hmm. a media of what sells. Mm-hmm. Magazines in general are troubled. We know that. Print. Journalism in itself is troubled. Mm-hmm. So does that have an impact on what they buy from you?
Well, as I said, I've always sold about the same amount, although I did sell more into Tina Brown. And I think there are economics involved in their choices. But it's so hard to know, Joe, because I'm not sitting there in the meeting rooms where they decide who gets bought and who doesn't. So there's got to be some economics in their choices.
And do you find that the cartoons, that many of the cartoons that we see in the book, some have appeared in the magazine and many were originally rejected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All of them were.
Yeah.
The ones that were not in the magazine. I have a contract. I have to show them the cartoons
so many
first.
A week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is that a and I'm just curious as to how we fix that. I mean, not just for you and but in general, but how we get your voice out more. And when I say your voice, I mean just other voices.
I think you hit on something that does concern me because when I'm abroad and I'm asked by certain cartoonists in other countries, like some cartoonists who get their hands broken and, you know, put in jail, they say, what can't you draw about? And I say, well, we can draw about everything here in this country, basically. We have that freedom. But drawing about women's rights that I love to do, it's not all I do, but I love to do it, doesn't find the audience that I wish it did. I think it's better than it was, but people generally don't. They think it's fixed. They think it's a stupid conversation. We don't have to go there. So, I don't know how to fix that, Joe. Just keep pushing. I know a lot of. I think Twitter has helped a lot. A lot of women are and feminist groups are out there, and getting more attention because of social media. So, I don't know.
When you think of your work, the other thing that I find so impressive isn't the word, but I'll use it because I can't think of another word, but that I find impressive is that it is, you are very respectful to men as women. I mean, the way they're represented not only in the text, but in the in the artwork itself.
Thank you. Well, I don't hate men by any means.
Well, of course not. Yeah. but I would think it would be somewhat of a little bit of a not a challenge exactly, but to a fine line perhaps, to have a collection like this, mm-hmm. and to have that funny and the edge without sort of like ganging up. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Right. That's what I'm trying. That's the line I'm trying to walk, and I always have. Here's the thing, Joe, is the problems that we have with gender relations, with women's rights, is not just men behaving badly. Women behave badly, too.
Right.
It's a, you know, I hate to use this word because people run screaming in the opposite direction. It's a patriarchy. You know, it's like a system that we have to keep chipping away at and get changed. And I think it's better. I think men, many, many, many men want it to go away, too. They go away as well. They don't want women to be oppressed and to be raped and to be abused, you know?
The other thing I said a moment ago that there are three things to this, which is the artwork, the text, and the message you're trying to send. Your words, I mean, you several times in the book, you talk about, you have a line in there that some words need not to be passed by. that there's some words that are just funny.
Well, that, yes.
That are cool.
Yeah.
And are just fun.
Like niche.
Niche is one of them, yes. That you find an interest in using.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that some of that comes out of humor. That they're just words that are funny.
Yeah.
But also that you take a great interest in working in the language as well.
Writing the caption is not as easy as you think, as one would think. I know you get it, but it's crafting a bunch of words so they not only sound like they roll off the person's tongue that's talking, but they also have a funny way to them in some way, not just funny sounding, but I don't know. They have to work perfectly with the drawing. Also, the thing about the cartoons in this book is that they are a lot of times I'm trying to get at the little things in life. You know, we're moving forward as a country with legislation to make things better for women, but it's the daily things in the words you're talking about, like words that can be hurtful to other people if used on a daily basis. So that's the little things I'm trying to get at in life that needs to be changed, that need to be changed.
And not to beat a dead horse here, but you feel that there are avenues for you to get that out in your work.
Social media, I think, is the way I'm going about it. And that's one reason why I wanted to do an ebook. Because I have a lot of people that follow my work online.
Mm.
I'm on Twitter, I'm on Medium, I'm on LinkedIn, on Facebook.
I have my issues with ebooks, but because I love bookstores.
Yes,
I have to say the cartoons are so brilliant and beautiful. I mean, you
Thanks.
Know, that just looks great. You know?
You know what? I have to really, thank you.
I'm showing her a 15-inch monitor with one of her cartoons. I mean, I can see the work and I love it. I love viewing it that way.
But you can carry it with you on the subway and look at it. You
know, absolutely.
If you're bored, just look at it. There's 200 cartoons in this book. It was beautifully put together by my publisher, Narrative Magazine.
Yeah.
If you don't know them, they're a literary nonprofit magazine. They do great work and they have cartoons as well regularly, not just mine, but all kinds of people. And they're a great publisher and they did a beautiful job. You can get the book printed. It costs too much. We know that, but that's the nature of the beast. And if you go to my website, LizaDonnelly.com, you can figure out how to do that.
If you go to LizaDonnelly.com, it'll have all the information on the new book and some really great cartoons, as well as your story and a great summation of what you're working on in the book, mm-hmm. as well as how to pick up a copy.
And go to NarrativeMagazine.com because they're great.
NarrativeMagazine.com, and they also have a wonderful website as well. NarrativeMagazine.com, LizaDonnelly.com. The new book is Women on Men. Liza, I love when you're here and talking to us.
We got kind of serious, didn't we, Joe?
That's all right. I think that's good.
I think it's great.
It's good stuff, and it's fascinating. And I just because I think your work is so incredibly important.
Oh, thank you.
And it's so it's a real pleasure to have you talk about it.
Well, thank you very much.
Have a lovely holiday season
as well.
You too,
Joe.
Thank you very
much.
Thanks
for having me.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.